I certainly expected that President Obama and the 111th Congress were going to hit the ground running. We've hit the ground pretty hard.
Yeah, I'd say that that's no truer words were spoken on that, sir. Now tell me about your committees. One of the committee that you've actually been able to land is the Government Oversight, Government Reform and Oversight Committee, which was former Congressman Tom Davis's oversight committee as
right.
well. So tell us a little about your plans for that.
Well, I was pleased to get on two subcommittees that I think really matter to our district and to our region, and that's the Government Management Organization and Procurement Subcommittee and the Federal Workforce, Postal Service, and D.C. Subcommittee, the latter, which had been chaired by Tom Davis when he first got to Congress 14 years ago. So those two subcommittees, I think, are very relevant, not only to my district, but to the whole National Capital Region. I've met with Adolphus Towns privately, the new chairman of the Government Oversight and Reform Committee, and I think we're going to have an aggressive agenda, and I think it's going to be a great venue to make sure that we're protecting the interests of the federal workforce and those who serve the federal government in other capacities.
Well, Congressman Connolly, of course, one of the things that Ed Towns has said is that he wants very vigorous oversight of contractors. And there's a lot of contractor oversight provisions in various bills and that are floating that will be before the House. And so you are in an area, you represent a zone where there are so many of these contractors who live and work. So that's going to put you a little bit in a tight spot, I would think.
Well, I've made it very clear to Chairman Towns that, you know, we want to make sure that if people are not serving the federal government the way they need to be ferreted out and exposed. But we must not tarnish an entire industry which has, you know, tens of thousands of workers also serving the government and its needs in ways that we can't always do ourselves as a government. We shouldn't be tarnishing all of them with the same sort of brush, if you will, that somehow they're not doing a good job, because that's not true. We have lots of wonderful companies and wonderful people who serve the federal government indirectly. In fact, it's probably in many ways created the economy in Northern Virginia.
Of course, especially in this area, there's a couple hundred thousand workers, actually, that support the government. As you say, they work in the agencies. They do a lot of the outsourced work. And there's a lot of employee union moves now. They figure that with a Democrat in the White House, and probably correctly, that they can maybe backpedal on some of the outsourcing that the government has done. Of course, the government workforce to replace them isn't there. So what's your early take on where this is all headed?
Well, you know, we're going to have to strike a balance. I don't approach the issue of privatization or outsourcing theologically. I approach it with my 14 years in local government very pragmatically. You know, if the government can't do it, if we don't have the resident expertise, then turning to those firms that may be able to offer the government that kind of resident expertise and get the job done is perfectly, you know, satisfactory. We've got to make sure that they're efficient. We've got to make sure that we get the best price we possibly can in contracting. But outsourcing in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It's a necessary part of making sure the people we serve get served.
We're talking this morning to Congressman Jerry Connolly, newly elected to as a member of Congress from Northern Virginia. And one of the issues, obviously, you'll be looking at today is the $789 billion economic stimulus plan. And there are many contractors and agency heads that are looking at this, realizing there's going to be a lot of money out there. What do you see in store? Let's start first with agencies. What do you see in store for agencies, especially in light of the fact that there is a requirement for more management and oversight of the money that's going to be pushed out from them?
I think it's actually an opportunity for streamlining and more efficiency. It's also an opportunity to re-inject some economic activity that's badly needed. We should maybe start with the basic. We're looking at an economy that's contracting by at least $1 trillion. It could be as much as $2 trillion. This Reinvestment and Recovery Act is designed to help plug that hole, stabilize the economy, put people back to work, get credit flowing again, and reinstill confidence among consumers in going forward. So that's terribly important. Obviously, federal agencies are going to play a very prominent role in helping to make all of that happen. You look at this bill, and it does some things we've been wanting to do for an awful long time. Energy efficiency buildings, expansion of healthcare information technology, moving to electronic record keeping, which can save lives and make healthcare more affordable and a lot more efficient. military construction projects, you know, and throughout the National Capital Region, we were very affected by the BRAC process, and that process, the base realignment and closure process, in my district, for example, Fort Belvoir and Quantico, they need some help in terms of transportation projects and so forth. President Obama appeared just this week with Governor Kane in my district at the Engineering Proving Ground site where an awful lot of the Fort Belvoir spillover is going to be located, and pointed out that this bill, the infrastructure and transportation part of this bill, will help complete a road we've been trying to complete for, you know, well over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an awful lot in here that I think will stimulate the local economy, providing jobs and fusing an awful lot of capital into the system.
Now, unfortunately, Nancy Killefer stepped away from the position of deputy director at OMB, so her oversight and sort of job to ride herd on federal agencies to make sure that they are, you know, managing their contracts correctly is not in place yet. So who will fill that void? Who will serve in that role, do you think?
I don't think we know the answer to that yet, but and that's why I'm glad I am on government reform and oversight. That committee is going to have to play a very important role in the execution of the bill we're going to be voting on today, to make sure that these agencies are doing that as efficiently as they possibly can and as effectively as they possibly can. One of the things clearly we need in the federal government is more people paying attention to acquisition. If you look at the growth in the procurement budget even before this bill, it's grown 155% in the last 9 years, while the acquisition force within the federal government has only grown 10%. That gap has to be addressed. There is legislation to add hundreds of additional acquisition workers with the resident's expertise and technical knowledge to be able to oversee the contracts that will be let, not only with this money, but frankly, throughout the federal system.
Well, there's where two issues kind of come together, the infrastructure and acquisition, and there's what I call an existential dilemma built into the stimulus bill, and that's the Buy American that specifies American iron and steel in infrastructure projects. And the issue is, of course, if you buy American, then more Americans are put to work with the stimulus dollars because it would use materials made in the United States. On the other hand, it's possible that that would mean less infrastructure for the dollar because some of those materials are more expensive than imported. So do you generally back the Buy American provision that's in the stimulus bill?
Again, I don't approach that issue from a theological point of view. And let me give you an example locally in Metro. You know, we have to buy rail cars for Metro to be able to expand capacity and upgrade the system.
And steel rail.
Metro cars are not made in the United States. There is no manufacturing capacity left in the United States to get rail cars for a metro system like ours. So we have to go to Canada or Italy to purchase those rail cars. So we have to be careful when we're looking at Buy America. The intention is good. We want to stimulate the U.S. economy, and the whole world benefits from that. But I think we have to take a little bit of care about having rigid provisions that actually have the unintended consequence of preventing us from doing some of the good things we want to do.
And Congressman, as you look ahead to your first year, what is it that you're prioritizing? What is it that you would like to accomplish?
Well, with respect to the federal workforce, we're looking at a lot of legislation, some of which is very familiar to your listeners. FERS, for example, trying to make sure the federal employees who return to federal government service can get credit for previous years of service through the federal employee retirement system. I've joined with Congressman Moran in introducing legislation to that effect. Premium conversion. I'm working with Congressman Van Hollen and Congressman Wolf from Virginia on premium conversion that my predecessor, Tom Davis, had championed, which will, of course, allow federal and military retirees to pay health premiums with pre-tax dollars like other federal workers do currently, which saves the average federal worker about $435 a year. Whistleblower protection, as you may know, that federal whistleblower protection was stripped out of the stimulus bill by the Senate. We need to proceed with a separate piece of legislation then to protect federal whistleblowers as we move forward.
And just one last question. This is the tough one that I would have asked Tom Davis if he had still had that seat. And do you think Adam Dunn is going to lift the gnats a little bit this year?
That's a question still for Tom Davis.
Are you on Facebook? Do you Twitter? So does Federal News Radio. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio Facebook group. For the latest in federal news and government contracting, visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.